For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
WWE Universe, the D-Loop Podcast is now a brand affiliate of WWE Shop with Fanatics. Get all of your latest merchandise from your favorite WWE superstars and wear them proud. So if it's CM Punk, the American Nightmare Cody Rhodes, L.A. Knight, the Tribal Chief Roman Reigns, or legends like The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and Bret the Hitman Hart, again, you can get all of your favorite merchandise over at wrestling.thedlupodcast.com. Again, that's wrestling.thedlupodcast.com to get all of your favorite merchandise at WWE Shop with Fanatics. This podcast is a Believe Network and Luciete production.
Welcome to another edition of the D-Loop Podcast, brought to you by Believe Network. I'm your host, Derek T. Lewis. I hope the week is treating you all great. I'm here to talk about this past weekend's AEW Dynasty. This is just going to be the recap show. Just my opinions, my thoughts on it. I'll be flying solo this week. And let's get right to it. A total of 15 matches, if you include the three preliminary matches that were on the undercard that was on 0 Hour. And I want to talk about the first match, Trent Beretta versus Matt Sydal, which I thought was a solid 8-minute match, just as you would expect, you know, an opening match, you know, as they say, dark matches is concerned. You know, it was just to get the crowd going and everything, and I really enjoyed it. Trent Beretta did beat Matt Sydal by submission, so that took care of that. That was, again, it was like an 8-minute match, so it definitely did its job. The second match that I was really into was Shibata and Orange Cassidy, and they defeated Shane Taylor and Lee Moriarty with Anthony Ogogo. And let me just say this, I am a huge fan of Shane Taylor. I think that they need to be doing more with him. I think him on TV, him actually being on TV more, I think will increase the brand of Shane Taylor Promotions. I like, you know, them when they were all in Ring of Honor, and I hope they continue to do stuff with him. But of course, you know, Orange Cassidy is a fan favorite of AEW. He's a mainstay, you know, former international champion. And I hope he gets back in the mix of that soon. But they did defeat Shane Taylor and Lee Moriarty by a pinfall. Get a solid 12-minute, 40-second match. And the last match of the 0 Hour, which I felt should have been on the main card, was the unification match for the ROH World 6-Man Tag Team titles and the AEW World Trios Championship with Bullet Club Gold. That's Jay White, Austin Gunn, and Colton Gunn defeating the Acclaim. That was Anthony Bowens, Max Caster, and Daddy Ass himself, Billy Gunn. I liked the match a lot. I just felt as though that a match of this magnitude should have been on the main card, in reverse of another match that was on the main card that should have been on the on 0 Hour. Just my opinion about it. You know, everyone got their shine in the match, you know, but I wasn't sure if they were just going to consolidate the belts, meaning they were going to do away with like the Ring of Honor belt or the AEW belts. I wasn't sure what they're going to do. No idea. But they did. Bullet Club Gold did defeat the Acclaimed, you know, to unify the 6-man/trios tag team championships. It was a 14-minute and 45-second match. So, again, I don't know where it's going to go from here. You know, I did see Max Caster doing his usual freestyle before the match. And, I mean, I don't know if my man's trying to get fired or whatever. But, I mean, he's just been just risking it. every single week with his raps. I hope that they, you know, continue to push the Acclaimed, you know, maybe go on in another direction character-wise. I don't know, but, you know, we shall see. I did see something where people are pushing for an Anthony Bowens singles run. I think that would be interesting to see what they can get some mileage out of that if that were to happen. So we shall see. But, you know, we go on to the main card, and let me just say this, you know, in regards to just my opinion of the whole entire card before I break down each match. For the most part, you know, it was worth the money and then some. It was totally worth the money. It was totally worth the, you know, price of admission, so to speak. You know, they had over 7,000 fans, you know, at the Shea Fetz Arena out in St. Louis, Missouri. Again, 7,000 fans. That's a solid crowd. And, you know, before I go into the matches, you know, everyone's, you know, they've been talking about, you know, the lack of fan-supported AEW events where a lot of times the hard camp, I mean, the opposite hard camp side is basically people dressed up as chairs. There's not a lot of people there. And I just think that, just me, I think the top brass at AEW should just look at the overall big picture from a profit and loss standpoint and say, hey, you know, we can run a smaller building and don't have to shell out as much money to rent the building. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you guys know, but I don't care if it's pro wrestling. I don't care if it's, you know, concerts or whatever. To rent a building is not a cheap venture. You know, especially when you're dealing with your big buildings like a Madison Square Garden or Barclays Center or the Staples, the Crypto.com, whatever the hell it's called in L.A. You know, this new arena that's coming in outside of L.A. or where the Clippers are going to be next year. You know, renting all these buildings, it's not cheap at all. So to rent a building like this, I think it's part of St. Louis University. Why not? No shame in that. And guess what? They had a packed house. It was lit very well. Made it look even bigger. You know what I mean? Because you can camouflage a lot of that stuff when you talk about production pro wrestling. If it's lit well and if it's packed, it's going to look major league. So, again, I'm pulling for AEW to get back where they were. Because I can remember a time in the beginning, AEW was selling out every single week of their TVs with Dynamite. But again, like I said, this whole entire event, again, from top to bottom, I absolutely loved. I enjoyed it. The first match was for the Continental Championship was Okada going up against the Bastard Pac. And I loved this match because, you know, of course, Pac doing a lot of his high aerial maneuvers. And, of course, you had Okada with a lot of the mat work and, you know, bringing that Japanese strong style. I love the match. They got 21 minutes, 55 seconds, almost 22-minute match. And just the big acai moonsault that Pac did off the, you know, to the outside of the ring on Okada. That was a highlight of the match. Someone took a really cool shot of Pac midair. And people, again, they call this man the man that gravity forgot for a reason. You know, just watching his stuff in Dragon Gate USA many years ago, that's why I first got word about him. But right before he got signed to WWE, where he had his run there as Adrian Neville, then of course Neville. Just for a guy that is, you know, he's built like him, to move and to fly as well as he does is incredible. Very entertaining match. Okada did win, you know, by pinfall to retain the Continental Championship, as I predicted last week when I was on this, you know, when this episode with Ella J. The next match was a trios match. Like, I figured it was going to be chaotic. You know, the House of Black was at Malakai Black, Brody King, and Buddy Matthews, you know, going up against the TNT champion Adam Copeland, the Mad King Eddie Kingston, and the Ring of Honor world champion Mark Briscoe. I mean, again, they almost got 18 minutes out of the match. I really, like I said, when you're dealing with matches like this, especially in a non-title situation, you know, it's everyone there to, they're on the card, it's entertaining. You know, you're not looking for, you know, who's the best technical wrestler in this whole bunch. You know, you just want to see six guys beat the living crap out of each other. And that's what we got. You know, I like the match. Again, very entertaining. House of Black, oh my God, the finish of the match was beautiful. With Malakai Black misting Adam Copeland and, of course, hitting it with Black Mass to get the pin. That was I love the ending of that match. Perfect the way it ended. And for people to say that the veterans don't put over the young guys, well, you know, Adam Copeland actually did get pinned by Malakai Black. So there you have it. So next was for the it was a house rules match for the TBS championship. The champion, Julia Hart, you know, defending against Willow Nightingale with Stokely Hathaway. And this match only got 6 minutes, which I was kind of like, really? That's all they're going to get? Okay. And, you know, it was, they did what they had to do within that time frame. I mean, because something just seemed a little off. But I'm just saying they just didn't have a lot of time. So maybe their time may have gotten shaved. Because that was the only match that was under, I'm talking about on the main card, that didn't go over 10 minutes. It was just this match, 6 minutes for a title match. But nonetheless, it was just the setup, of course, Double or Nothing, in which Willow Nightingale did defeat Julia Hart to win the TBS championship. And of course, you know, Mercedes Moné comes out to do the confrontation, and that will set up their match for Double or Nothing. Of course, they had their match over in New Japan over a year ago, so they can reignite that feud. So I'm looking forward to that next month on pay-per-view. This next match, I really enjoyed. I mean, again, I enjoyed all the matches, but if you wanted your pure wrestling match, this next match will gave you your fill. Roderick Strong defending the international championship against Kyle O'Reilly. I mean, it was a lot of submission, a lot of holds, a lot of just, if you want to say close to strong style as you can get, a lot of knee bars, again, a lot of submissions, a lot of different things. And these guys are familiar with each other, obviously. And then in the middle of the match, Wardlow comes down, who's a member of the Undisputed Kingdom, and he's trying to cause a distraction, you know, in the middle of the match. And, you know, it almost cost Roderick Strong, but eventually, you know, Roderick Strong did win the match by pinfall to retain the international championship. And of course, the other members, was of Matt Taven and Mike Bennett, they bring out Adam Cole in his wheelchair, and miraculously, Adam Cole can walk again. He looks like he's cleared to wrestle, I'm assuming. But he walked down, you know, walked down the ramp to celebrate. But if anyone, I'm not sure if anyone caught it, but the look that Adam Cole gave Wardlow was like, okay, something's about to go down. Maybe not at Double or Nothing. It could be at the Wembley pay-per-view in August. We don't know, but you know, definitely take a look out for that. But again, like I said, still international champion Roderick Strong. Up next is the match I felt that should have been on Zero Hour. Again, it's just my opinion. Was the FTW rules match for the FTW championship. The champion Hook defending against Chris Jericho. Now, I know Chris Jericho is, I think to me, he's playing to the internet, what the internet's been saying in regards to, you know, people don't want to see Jericho anymore. There were chances of please retire, go home, all this other stuff from the fans. But again, they've basically been echoing what a lot of fans have been saying online. And I think they're feeding to it with Jericho. Because the complaint has been that, okay, Jericho doesn't elevate anybody. You know, he wants to work with the young guys, but to maintain status as I guess I just want to call him a top guy, I guess. But again, when it comes to wrestling itself, like, I still like Jericho as far as his in-ring ability is concerned. You know, for him to be 53 years old and still going the way he is, you know, but there is a segment of the crowd that really, they're really not feeling him anymore. The match goes 16 minutes, 35 seconds, and Jericho hits Hook in the head with the baseball bat and gets the pin, 1, 2, 3, and Task goes off of commentary and goes to check on his son. Now, there's been rumor and innuendo out there that, you know, There's another company, you know, that's in Stamford, Connecticut, that's been looking at Hook. Again, I don't know that to be true or not. I'm not in those circles of knowing what other companies are talking about or who they're looking for. But I was telling Gabby, because we were texting during the pay-per-view on Sunday, I said, if it's a guy that could benefit being in NXT, we'll be Hook. I would love to see him there where he can be amongst a lot of people to get a lot of reps in. He's good, but I think he can be even greater being in that system. I truly believe that. So we'll see what happens. I don't know what Jericho's going to do in regards to this the FTW championship. No idea. But again, they're going with this learning tree thing where wrestlers and young wrestlers are wanting to be under the tutelage of Chris Jericho. So let's see what happens. And I think they're retiring the Judas song there. I think they're done using it. No more singing along with Jericho, I guess.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Women's World Championship match is up next with Timeless Toni Storm defending against Thunder Rosa, which I felt was maybe the second or third. I mean, that match was really good. Like, Thunder Rosa didn't wear any face paint. It was just her. Had a little makeup on. But these two women, you could put this match in any country around the world, and it will be top-notch. It will be top quality. You know, I love the fact that Thunder Rosa is coming back after a two-year hiatus, you know, due to a really, really serious injury. And she's out to prove that, you know, she wants to take the crown back. You know what I mean? That she really wants to stake her claim as being one of the best, not just best women's wrestlers in the world, but just one of the best wrestlers in the world, male or female. And Toni Storm, I mean, number one, I'm a fan of the character. It's a throwback, obviously, to the 1950s old school Hollywood, Marilyn Monroe and, you know, Judy Garland, all these, you know, these old school Hollywood star, you know, figures from back when. And I love how invested Toni Storm is in this character. I absolutely love it. Great character work. But again, the in-ring work was even better. They got about 15 minutes, 10 seconds out of it. Toni Storm does win by pinfall to retain the Women's World Championship. I would imagine, like I said last week, they're going to try to stretch this out, this title reign, I feel, to the Wembley pay-per-view, All In London, because you want to have all of your British acts, your British show wrestlers, you know, going in there with some momentum so they can actually sell this pay-per-view. You figure if they're smart, you know, maybe the week before, whatever the case, that, you know, they're doing media, they're doing all this other stuff to promote this show. So hopefully my theory is correct. And of course, next is, In many people's cases, probably match of the year candidate already. No matter what other good matches happens the rest of the year, everyone feels that this match should be match of the year, hands down. Bryan Danielson and Will Ospreay. To me, I understand the importance of the world title, and you want, you know, the last image is whoever's the world champion at the end of the pay-per-view. But if I was a wrestler, it's just like, yo, dude, how do I follow this match? And this was the longest match on the card. They went 32 minutes, 40 seconds. I mean, they brought out everything, including the kitchen sink, including the bathtub, everything you can possibly think of. You know, just a figure of speech, guys. But just watching this match, this is probably one of the greatest matches in the history of United States wrestling in pro wrestling business. Hands, I mean, this match truly, truly, I was on the edge of my seat the entire match. There was one point, each opposite corners, and this is kind of going towards the end of the match, and Brian Danielson's doing the yes thing, and that's when they charged at each other, in the middle of the ring. And Will Ospreay did that power bomb. Oh my god! And I don't think he knew that Danielson was hurt, and he attacked him again, and definitely got the pin. Because I don't think he realized that the referee was calling for the doctor to check on Dragon. But nonetheless, he does get the pin, as I predicted. But I mean, to me, in matches like this, I could care less about when who's the winner, who's the loser, because the in-ring product was top notch. There's no better way you can. I'm not going to pick that match apart. Why? Two of the best wrestlers in the world out to prove why they are two of the best in the world. And if you can put Savage Steamboat up there, you can put, oh my God, Bret Hart and Davey Boy, Bret Hart and Owen, Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels for the in the Iron Man match. My God, I mean, there's Austin Rock 2, Flair Steamboat. You could put all these matches, in a pot. It doesn't like it. This match, man, it's hard to even explain on how good this match was. I urge you, if you haven't seen the match, order the pay-per-view on the Triller app, on the Bleacher Report app, or wherever you can actually order AEW events, because I tell you right now, it is truly the price of admission. And kudos to both gentlemen on a job well done in this match. Of course, we have Chaos, in the next match, it's the tournament final to crown the new AEW World Tag Team Champions, in a ladder match, the Young Bucks against FTR. And then, like I said, in last week's episode, I felt like the momentum was going towards, the Young Bucks as they're trying to solidify, their new faction, the new version of the Elite. And when you're the next match after Will Ospreay and Brian Danielson, you're gonna have to just throw caution to the wind like that in order to get those fans, because I can imagine those fans are probably worn out, and then now you're gonna have to give them a ladder match, man. And just, they took some risky bumps, I'm not gonna lie, and it was very risky, but it was all in the mindset of just trying to entertain those fans that were there. I enjoyed the match. The match did go 21 minutes, 35 seconds. And right when, I believe it was Dax that was on the ladder there, there was a masked man. There was a guy in a black hoodie with a, I think it was a Sting mask on. He pushed, I think he may have pushed him off the ladder. And next thing you know, it was revealed to be Jack Perry, which I did predict was going to happen. And, they had security escort him out the ring. The Young Bucks grabbed the belts, and they are now the three-time AEW World Tag Team Champions. And, like I said, it's, from what I saw, as I'm recording this on a Wednesday night, I just watched Dynamite. And based off of the closing of Dynamite, then you can definitely tell that, they're really going in another direction regarding the Young Bucks, Okada, and Jack Perry being the new version of the Elite, and them being the top heels in the company. So they're really trying to ride that momentum, from the footage that they leaked about a week or so ago, whatever that was. And it was two weeks ago with the whole Punk Jack Perry footage from the backstage area at All In London at Wembley. So they're going to try to take advantage of that now and really be the top heels in the company. So we shall see how this plays out. We shall see. And of course, the main event for the AEW World Championship, the champion Samoa Joe defending against Swerve Strickland, and just what you expect. I mean, Joe has, I felt, and this is no disrespect to any previous AEW world champion, but I felt like, you know, he definitely helped elevate it, being legit, a legit badass, and, you know, carrying himself as a world champion, as a world champion should, and no nonsense. And that's what I love about Joe. Joe has always been one of my favorites. And but I think we all knew, you know, it was definitely Swerve's time. You know, we all felt that, you know, this was what the company was looking to crown, you know, their new champion, you know, at this event. I felt like they could have waited another month, but again, when lightning strikes, you know, you want to take advantage of that. So, you know, the match was good. You know, they really laid it all out there in the ring, and Swerve Strickland did pin Samoa Joe to become the brand new AEW World Champion. You know, purple confetti going everywhere. Nice touch in his entrance, though. He came out to the character from Black Panther. And, of course, Prince Nana coming out with the robe that was worn by the late, great Jimmy Rave, who was a member of the Embassy in Ring of Honor back in the day. So rest in peace to Jimmy Rave. And that was a nice touch, you know, to get that lineage of the Embassy going back. Oh my God, 20 years. It's crazy that Ring of Honor now is 22 years old. And I'm glad the company is still around, you know, I'm glad a wrestling person like Tony Khan did buy it. But, you know, all in all, this pay-per-view, I think to me, this is the pay-per-view that AEW needed to start gaining momentum again. Because obviously with a lot of the things that were happening with the company over the last, I would say maybe since last summer, maybe, you know, with the Punk situation and all this backstage drama, even after he had gone, that was happening. And I think sometimes you just need something to just get it back on track. And I think AEW Dynasty was that event. You know, now we move forward to AEW Double or Nothing in Vegas, you know, Memorial Day weekend. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to hopefully, I sent out for credentials, and we shall see if I'm granted that. I hope so. To represent Bleav Network and for the D-Lew podcast. I'm really, really excited about that. But, you know, this weekend, you can check me out at ECWA's Pretzelmania 6. This will be my very first Pretzelmania. I've never been a part of one before, so I'm looking forward to being back with the guys and girls of ECWA. You know, the tickets are on sale now at ECWAwrestling.com. You can also get your tickets at the door. Bell time is at 7 p.m. Eastern. You can follow me on social media at The Real DT Lou. Of course, Facebook is Derek T. Lewis official page. You can go to both my stores. Pro Wrestling Tees is pwt.derektlewis.com. My regular t-shirt and hoodie and tote bag and mug store is shop.derektlewis.com. My single, Espacion, in addition to my single, Every Second Make It Count, my single, Selfish Pride, is all over all platforms. Make sure you stream those records, you know, and huge shout out to every, you know, producer and that I've ever had a chance to work with, every artist I had a chance to work with. And yeah, I forgot to mention, subscribe. Subscribe to the D-Lew Podcast, no matter which platform you're listening to right now, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Pandora, Deezer, TuneIn, whichever one, no matter what, make sure that you subscribe and get all new content every single week, every Thursday at 6 a.m. Eastern. I'm going to end the show on a different note this week because today, as you listen to this show on April 25th, is the absolute love of my life, Jasmine's 39th birthday. Happy birthday, mommy. I love you so much. And I hope that this year and many years to come will be absolutely wonderful for the both of us. I love you. See you guys next week. Take care.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.